Good morning. We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. And my name is Chris Reeves, and this program is brought to you by the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning and you would like to turn in the New Testament in Mark chapter 10, we're going to read verses 17 through 22. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him a very important question. Jesus answered that question. But unfortunately, the rich young ruler did not like the answer to that question, and he walked away and did nothing. Friends, we need to come to Jesus. We need to accept the answers that he gives concerning our life. We need to go away in obedience, not walk away in disobedience. And I want us to learn some important lessons this morning from the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. In just a moment, we will be reading from that passage of Scripture. When you look at this man in the New Testament, when you put all of the accounts together, and there is the account here in Mark chapter 10, it's also mentioned in Matthew chapter 19, and it's mentioned in Luke chapter 18. When you put all of those accounts together and all the parallel accounts, you find that, number one, this man was rich, Luke chapter 18 and verse 23. He was young. Matthew chapter 19, verses 20 and 22. And he was a ruler in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. And so we call him the rich young ruler. We put all of that information together to make the complete representation of this man. And he comes to Jesus, and he has a very important question. But I want us to think about this man. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. Think about this man. Everybody wants wealth, everybody wants youth, and everybody wants power. What more could he want or need? When you talk with people today about what they want or what they would like to be, it's often one of those three things. I'd like to have more money, and that would make me satisfied. I'd like to be younger, and that would make me satisfied. I'd like to have more power, and that would make me satisfied. And yet we find that this man had all three. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And yet, we're going to find that he was still lacking in his life. Money doesn't make us complete. Youth does not make us complete. Power does not make us complete. But a right relationship with God and being obedient to Jesus Christ, that is what is going to completely fulfill us in life. And so let's learn from the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, I want to read verses 17 through 22. If you'd like to follow along with me, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. We'll read the text and then go back through and notice some very important lessons from the text. Mark 10, 17. And as he was going forth into the way, there ran one to him and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, even God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor thy father and mother." And he said unto him, "Teacher, all these things have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, continuing on into verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished exceedingly, saying unto him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So a rich young ruler comes to Jesus, asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? They discuss that. Jesus gives him the answer, go, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. He doesn't want to do that. He just walks away. And then Jesus used that as an opportunity to teach his disciples how that people that are rich do not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those who trust in their riches do not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're not willing to give up those things. And then Peter asked, we have given up a lot for you, Lord. And Jesus said, that's right. And when people give up those things for the kingdom, they will, in the last day, they will receive eternal life. So we've got to give up and make sacrifices for the Lord. This rich young ruler wasn't willing to do that very thing. So this morning, what can we learn? Well, there are several lessons that I'd like for us to consider. First of all, notice that the rich young ruler, the text says that one came to him. This man, this young man, had a great zeal for Jesus. The parallel accounts say that he ran to him. Mark says that he ran and kneeled. Notice the zeal. He ran to Jesus. Notice the respect for Jesus. He kneeled down. So this man is coming to Jesus. He's a good man. He's concerned for eternity, not just this life. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so he was looking beyond this life. That's a lot more than we can say for many people around us. But what I want us to consider, friends, is this. Simply asking the right question is not enough. We have to accept the right answer. There are people who are really good at asking questions and being interested and zealous and respectful, but they don't like the answer that they get from the scripture when Jesus gives them the answer. So it's more than just asking the right question. In the book of Acts, there were individuals who asked questions concerning their soul's salvation, and when they got the answer, they obeyed. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. And some 3,000 did that. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, the Ethiopian eunuch asked, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They went down into the water and Philip baptized him. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, the Philippian jailer there said, what must I do to be saved? And when he was told to believe on the Lord Jesus, he did that. Not just faith only, but believing Jesus and being baptized into his body. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 10, when Saul, on the road to Damascus, saw Jesus, he said, what must I do, Lord? And Jesus told him to go into Damascus, and there it would be told him what he must do. And later in verse 16, he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. So it's not enough just to ask the right questions. We have to be willing to accept the answer, and this young man wasn't. Another lesson that we can learn from these things is that the man said, all these things have I observed. Jesus said, when he was asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told the rich young ruler, do you know the commandments? And he refers to some of the 10 commandments under the old law. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and thy mother. And the rich young ruler said, I have observed these things from my youth. This is a lot more than we can say about people around us. He didn't kill, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't steal, he didn't lie, he didn't defraud, he took care of his parents, and he had done that from his youth. But there's something interesting about this. That would make him a very good person. But good people can and will be lost. If goodness alone was what makes one right with God, this young man would be a prime candidate. He wouldn't need to ask anything about what must I do to inherit eternal life. He would already have it if just being good is what makes a person right with God. But just being good is not what makes a person right with God. having our sins washed away in baptism and being a member of the Lord's church and faithfully worshiping God, that's what puts us in a proper standing with God. But there are a lot of people today that say, well, as long as I'm good, I pay my taxes, I go to work, I go to school, I'm a pretty good person, I'm right with God, I'm going to heaven. No, the scripture doesn't teach that. This was a very good young man, and yet he was lost in his sins. Good people can and will be lost. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, it said that there were devout men. That means God-fearers. And yet, in verse 38, they're told to repent and be baptized. In Acts chapter 8, verses 27 and 28, the Ethiopian eunuch was on his way. He had been to Jerusalem to worship God and was on his way back reading scripture. How good is that? And yet, in verse 36, he's told to be baptized for the remission of his sins. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, Cornelius, the Roman centurion, is a very good man. He was charitable. He prayed. He did other good things. And yet, in verse 48, he and his family are told to be baptized for the remission of their sins. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, Saul of Tarsus, before becoming Paul, was a very conscientious Jew and a faithful worshiper under the old law. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, he put his all into serving God, and yet in verse 16 he had to be baptized to wash away his sins. You see, being a good person is not enough. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. We have to be obedient to the gospel plan of salvation if we hope to be saved, not just simply being a good person. When we come back to the story, we learn some other lessons. The rich young ruler said that I have observed these different commandments from my youth. He had been raised to follow the commandments of the Lord. It is important to be taught from your youth to be good, and he was taught from his youth to be good. But there's something else that we need to be teaching our young people. We need to be teaching our young people to listen to what Jesus tells them. So he was a fine young man in many ways and had been raised right and would have been a good young person. But maybe one thing he wasn't taught was that you need to listen to Jesus. If you're going to come to Jesus and ask him a question, you need to listen and observe the answer. When Jesus gave him the answer, he walked away sorrowful. One thing he didn't learn was that when you get an answer from Jesus that you don't like, it's still the right answer. He didn't learn that from his youth. He wasn't taught from his youth that no matter what God tells us, that we have to obey that, you see. When he was told what to do, he walked away and didn't do it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Jesus had a lot of respect in the eyes of this young man. He ran to Jesus. He kneeled down to Jesus. He wanted to hear from Jesus, but when Jesus gave him the answer, he didn't like it. So it's great to teach our young people to be good, but we also need to teach them that when Jesus tells them to do something, they need to do that very thing. And we need to be setting the example for our youth. As adults, we need to be following what Jesus says, and if we're not, we need to change that before it's too late. As we come on down through the text, Jesus told him to keep the commandments, and the young man said, I've done that. And then, look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and so forth. Notice the text says Jesus loved him. Sometimes we have the idea today that love is just something that overlooks things and condones things and coddles wrongdoing. Jesus loved him and told him what he needed to know. True love tells us what we need to do to be saved. True love will tell us when we're wrong. True love will tell us when we need to make a change. True love will correct us. True love will discipline us and admonish us. There are so many false ideas today about that. Parents say, well, I love my children too much to discipline them. In many human philosophies in society, people say, well, just love people into change. No, Jesus loved him, and it was a genuine, honest love. But he told him that he was wrong, that he was lacking, and that he needed to make some changes. And so, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Laodicea, "Those whom I love, I reprove and chasten." I reprove, say that they're wrong, I chasten, I discipline them. That's the opposite of what we hear in our society today. So notice that Jesus loves us. That's right. And sometimes that love causes him to tell us when we're wrong and what we need to do to change that. So he loved him. And then what did he tell him? Looking upon him, loved him, said, "One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest." What are you lacking, friend? What am I lacking in being right with God? When we are lacking, we do not do all that Jesus wants us to do to be saved. We've got to do everything that we're told to do. Sometimes people think, well, I'll just do most of it, and then God will get me into heaven. I'll do a lot of it, and God will be fine with that. No, if I'm lacking even one thing, I need to make that change. Notice he didn't say two or three or four or 100 things. Just one thing was keeping this man out of the kingdom. One thing, friend. Stop and think about that. We need to do all that Jesus commands us. When Jesus sent his apostles into all the world in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, they were to baptize them into Christ and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. All things, you see. That's important. We can't leave things out and be right with God. We can't come up with our own short list of what we want to do to go to heaven and leave everything off that we don't want to do. This man was lacking one thing, and Jesus told him what that thing was. And then he was very specific about what he told him. Another lesson that we can learn is that Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest. Go, number one, sell what you have, number two, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and four, come follow me." Notice that he was very specific. Jesus requires more than some general service or some general change in life. There are specific things that we must do in order to be right with God. And I might add right here that somebody says, well, a lot of times people who don't believe that baptism is necessary for salvation, they'll point out here that Jesus didn't tell him to be baptized, and so it's not necessary. Friend, we need to rightly divide the Word of God. We need to ask ourselves, where are we in the Bible? We're in the Gospels, and we are at a time where the old law is still in force. The new law hasn't taken effect. The new law that requires us to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. We're still under the old law at this point in the story in Mark. It's not until Jesus dies on the cross that the new will or the New Testament comes in force after he sheds his blood for that new covenant. We're before the cross. And so it's the same with the thief on the cross, the rich young ruler, the woman who came to be healed and touched Jesus' garment. A lot of times Jesus will say, "Thy faith hath saved thee," or "made thee whole," or the men who let down their friend through the roof to be healed in Mark chapter 2. Jesus forgave him of their sins. There was no baptism there. That's because we're at a time when baptism under the new covenant that Jesus commanded in his new covenant, it's not in force yet. That's why this young man was not told to be baptized. He is a Jew living under the old law, just like Jesus is at this time. So I wanted to mention that for all of those individuals out there that turn to places in the Gospels and where someone is being told what to do to be right and baptism is not mentioned, it's because we're in a time frame when it is not required. So back to the lesson now. He's told to do specific things. And under the new covenant, after Jesus died, we are told to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We are told to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We're told certain things in the epistles of Paul to live right in our marriage and in our family and how to talk and how to dress and how to act and how to think. And specific things are mentioned there. And we have to follow those things. Jesus does not want just some general good service. He tells us the things that we need to do. Then, notice when Jesus told him those things, the text says in verse 22, his countenance, that's his disposition, his attitude, his feeling, it fell at the saying. He didn't like that. It's like hanging his head low. Oh, Jesus told me that I have to go sell what I have and give to the poor. And he just hangs his head low and he feels downtrodden and depressed and he doesn't like that. And he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. He didn't want to give up his money. And so his money won out at the end of the day. He came with a great attitude, but his money won out at the end of the day. And so we need to learn that this man went away. Some are not willing to give up what is necessary to be saved. Some are not willing to give up what is necessary to change their life. And you can, friend, you can give it up, whether it's the alcohol, the drugs, the gambling, the fornication, the sexual immorality, the adultery, the profanity, whatever it is, we need to stop that and give that up. And yes, even homosexuality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, homosexuality, people gave that up. There's other things that are listed there in that list. They gave that up. We can turn to God from serving false idols, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. We can turn our life around. When you read in the book of Acts about people being converted to Christ, they come from all different kinds of backgrounds, and some of them come from very immoral backgrounds. We can and must change and turn our life around. And Jesus said, when you'll do this, you can have treasure in heaven. He didn't want to do it though. He didn't want to change. He didn't want to give up his material things. And some people have things that they hold in their life so dear to them that they will not give it up and come serve the Lord. So, what is it for you that you need to give up? What is it for me that I need to give up so that we can come and be right with God? And Jesus said that if you'll do this, you'll have treasure in heaven. We need to be more concerned about heaven than earth. We need to be more concerned about heaven than earth. And I believe that the young man did. Back in verse 17, he asked what he must do to inherit eternal life. I believe that he was looking beyond this life. But when Jesus told him the thing that he had to give up was something that was near and dear to him, his money, then he realized that he's just simply going to focus on the things of this life. Jesus said we need to lay up treasure in heaven, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, we need to be thinking about what's important, and that is life after death and being right with God. Well, I want to hold on to my car and my house and my job and my money, and I might be in an improper marriage, but I just want to hold on to that and other kinds of things. We just don't want to give it up. And it could be money. It could be materialism. But we've got to let things go that are going to stand in our way to faithfully serving the Lord. So what did he do? The text says that he went away sorrowful. He became exceeding sorrow. You know, what's interesting about this is that great sorrow does not change a lost condition. Great sorrow does not change a lost condition. He went away sorrowful, but he went away lost. And Jesus didn't track him down and say, okay, I understand now that you're sorrowful and that's enough. Come on back. Did you notice that Jesus didn't run him down and say, it's okay, I'm sorry. Jesus didn't change his answer when he saw the man walk away. Jesus didn't run and get him back and say, I'm sorry I said that, and I'll lower the entrance requirements into heaven now that I realize that you don't want to give up things. He didn't do any of that, did he? He just let him go. You have to make a choice, friend. And if you make the wrong choice and I make the wrong choice, Jesus is going to let us walk away. He's not going to run us down and force us to change. He's not going to track us down and lower the bar, lower the standard, lower the requirements when he realizes that we're not willing to meet those things. Well, Let's just take some things away and make it easier for you to get into heaven. He didn't do any of that, did he? He just let him walk away. And then he turned to his disciples and said, look at this young man walking away. How hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, but he went away sorrowful, but that did not change his lost condition. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, Paul talks about a sorrow of this world. It's when people feel sorry and sorrowful over things in their life, but that doesn't make them right with God. And then Paul goes on to talk about a sorrow that leads to repentance. That's the kind of sorrow where we truly realize that we're wrong and we want to make a change. This man went away and he felt sorrowful. He felt badly about his response and Jesus' answer and what was required of him. He didn't like the idea of having to give up treasures, but it didn't change his lost condition. So sometimes people think that, well, if I just kind of feel badly about what's going on, then that's okay with God. No, it's a sorrow of this world. You know, some people are sorry they get caught. Some people are sorry when they get caught for breaking the law. I'm sorry that mom and dad caught me. I'm sorry that the police caught me. I'm sorry that the teacher or the principal caught me. But that doesn't make them want to change. They're just sorrowful that they got caught. And they might straighten up for a little while, and then they go right back to doing the wrongdoing later. He felt sorrowful, but it didn't change his lost condition. And he went away. He went away. Friends, you and I, each day, we are making choices either to do what Jesus says or not to do what he says. And he went away, and he didn't act on anything. You know, the choice to do nothing is still a choice, and it's a choice for disobedience. We are either for Jesus or we are against Jesus. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. And when we choose not to obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, every day goes by, I don't want to obey, I don't want to read my Bible, I don't want to learn, I don't want to study, I don't want to come worship God, I don't want to get my life right. That is a choice. The choice to do nothing is a choice to be disobedient. And we need to think about that. You know, think about this young man. Did this young man walk away and then he started misbehaving in life and causing all kinds of trouble and things like that? No, he just simply walked away with his head hung low. His countenance fell. Well, that's still the choice to disobey Jesus. So, as we come to the close of our program this morning, what are you trusting in that keeps you from obeying Jesus? Like the rich young ruler, what's that one thing that is standing in the way that you don't want to give up? Whatever that is, heaven is worth a lot more than whatever that is. You need to let that go and come and obey Jesus. What will you leave behind to follow Jesus? What will be first in your life, Jesus or material things or some other kind of thing? Let's learn from the rich young ruler to, yes, come to Jesus. That's great. But when Jesus tells us what to do, and he even said, Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He also tells us in his word how to remain faithful after we become baptized into Christ. Whatever Jesus tells us, we've got to listen to that and we've got to obey that. Let's not just walk away and do nothing, but let's come to Jesus and obey him. And if we can help you to do that very thing after hearing the program this morning, please contact us. We give our email, we give our phone number, we've got the church address that we give each week. Please make contact. I would love to come study the Bible with you so that we can learn what we need to do to be right with God. Thank you for listening this morning and have a good day.